Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser said it all.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for yet another episode. As we dive into the next one, we're at 301, so it's onward and upward from here on out. On this episode, I have El Bracero, Jose Alicia, returning to the show. We talk about working for Dick the Bruiser, The Sheik, and much more. So let's just take a break and get right to it. And when we come back, we'll have my interview with El Bracero.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Filsinger Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit FilsingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilsingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2 in Screams. Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
And welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by El Bracero, Jose Alicia. Sir, how are you?
I'm great, my friend. How are you doing?
Doing good. I guess I should say the returning El Bracero. You've been on the show before, but we're having you back. I think this is the first time you and I have spoke on here, though. I think my co-host did it before.
Yes, I think so, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this will be good. This will get fun.
I hope so.
Oh, it will. So tell us first, Jose, where are you from?
I'm from Mexico City, Mexico.
There you go. All right. So what are your first memories of seeing wrestling?
My memory is when I just come to this country, you know, and then they give me my first chance, Mr. Dick DeBruso.
Mm-hmm.
And they send me to Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah. So,
hey, you got a match there, and I don't know who am I going to wrestle with, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then I ended the wrestle with, against Bobby Heenan, one of the greatest wrestlers.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So who trained you to wrestle?
Go ahead.
Who trained you? How did you learn? Mexico. Go ahead, sorry.
Actually, I was in the Olympic team, 1968, Mexico.
Okay.
For the Olympics, I was on the Olympic team. But we don't do too good, so then I decide go to professional. And then somebody else trained me real good. One of the best wrestlers in Mexico City.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you remember you? So the Bobby Heenan, was that your first match?
That was my first match.
Correct. Against Bobby Heenan in Detroit.
Over here in the United States, when I come to the United States. Yeah. That was my first match.
Yeah. So this is when Bruiser's running opposite the Sheik, right? In the Olympia.
Right. Uh-huh.
And you're wrestling, which, given the way you worked, right, this you had this quick-paced, high-flying kind of style for the time. And then you had Bobby Heenan, who was a big bump taker, right, known to the bump. That had to be an exciting, fun match.
It was, you know, because the guy is he was a professional. I can tell that, you know.
Yeah.
Other ways, somebody probably can try to smash me down or something, you know. Tie me down, but he never did. He knows what I was doing, all the walking on the top rope, all the flips and everything. So we got the crowd going.
Yeah.
All the people stand up, you know?
Yeah.
Even the wrestlers from the dressing room, they come and see the match. They say, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
You know, because they see me a lot of flips like people they never see before.
Yeah.
Well, That helped me to get into, keep wrestling here, you know?
Yeah.
I was the one doing that. Nobody was doing it. Nobody.
That's right. Especially in the Midwest. And and like I said, you were known as, a lot of times, as El Bracero, but you were known as, what, Jose Martin, Jose Martinez. Later in your career, you were known as Super Mix. What was with all these names? Were they trying to just kind of Americanize you, give you something that was, quote-unquote, easier for the dumb Americans to know and understand?
Yes, I started with Jose Martinez.
Yeah.
You know, Jose Martinez. And then one time I go to the a couple of years later, I go to Toledo, Ohio, working for the Sheik.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, they call El Bracero. And I turn around and say, Bracero, I say, there's another Mexican here. And I turn around and say, you, me? Am I El Bracero? I'm Jose Martinez. No, you El Bracero here.
Yeah.
Okay, here I go. So they put me El Bracero for the reason that they have then a lot of Mexican people working on the fields. You know, Mexican workers, that's what they call them, El Braceros.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, right? What is Bracero? Is that, that's like workers, right? I mean,
The legal workers, but with a contract.
Yeah.
You know, not like a wetback they used to call, you know.
Yeah,
they was legal people working in the fields. So they called them braceros. So I was a bracero. Okay, I'm a bracero. And then I was back and forth. Jose Martinez, El Bracero.
Yeah. It was all over the place, right? And it was just weird. And it's, you know, and again, a lot of the Lucha Hispanic wrestlers in the United, it was a lot of that, right? The different names, different things.
Yeah.
It was unique. But you also go ahead.
And then later on, when I was going to Bruiser Bedlams, you know? The announcer, the commentator, he called me the Super Max.
Yeah.
Who's the Super? Okay, me? Okay, I'm the Super Max. If you say so, you know.
Yeah. It would have been nice if just one time they could have told you this ahead of time.
Right. Be nice, you know, but Super Max, I was called Super Max. There he comes, you know.
Yeah. And whatever, right? It all pays the same.
That's right. I was happy with, you know. Hey.
Sure. Well, it's funny because, they called you Super Max. I think they use that now for somebody. I can't remember who it is. I've heard that used recently even. So it's, yeah, but you also, early in your career, you also worked in ICW for Angelo Poffo.
Yes.
And there's lots of stories about ICW. There's lots of stories about the Poffos. What was it like working for Angelo?
Well, that was nice because when I was working for the Chic, I was traveling with them all the time. I was wrestled by Macho Man. I mean, Randy Savage, he was Randy Savage.
Yeah.
I wrestled Lenny Poffo, Angelo Poffo.
Yeah.
So we was all over Ohio, Michigan, and Canada.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of long trips, you know, a lot of suffering, a lot of lot of good times.
Yeah, well, let me ask you, because like I said, you worked for Sheik, you worked for Bruiser, you weren't, and these guys, their schedules weren't really full, right? You weren't working like 4 or 5 days a week for those guys.
Yes.
Is that why you were working for guys like the Poffos and everything? Was just trying to fill dates, make a little more money?
Well, I was working for them because they was run a territory.
Yeah.
You know, before they used to be territories.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was in Atlanta. I was working for Jim Burnett.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was wrestling every day, every single day, but I wasn't home every day. It was short trips.
You got around, right? Like, I mean, you said Atlanta. In 83, you also wrestled some in Houston.
Yes.
In 80. Yeah, what was that like? Because you were working for Paul Bosch, Houston.
Paul Bosch was the promoter from the Sam Houston Arena.
Yeah,
but the promoter in Texas it was Joe Plancher.
Yeah, sure, right. Southwest.
He also owned the territorial and Fritz Von Erich.
Yeah, in Texas. Dallas. Yeah.
So they sent me here, there. I was wrestling for three different promoters on the same week. We was every day. So I was traveling back and forth. I like Texas because then I was a tech team with Rocky Johnson.
Yeah, right. The Rock Stab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It was a real good combination tech team. Me as a Mexican and he is as a color person, you know, but it was a good combination.
Yeah. Well, and when you were working in those, like in Texas and Houston, Southwestern, were you working around encountering the Guerreros a lot during that time?
No, the Guerrero was not. They called Guerrero. They called Hector Guerrero to be my partner.
Yeah.
Because I remember that I was supposed to team up there with Amil Mascaras.
Yeah, yeah.
And he never showed up. So they bring me back again with a tech team with Hector Guerrero.
Yeah.
And we was team up pretty good against the Black Gorman and Goliath, and two Mexican wrestlers from California.
Yeah, 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 big team.
I was there with Jose Lotario was there.
Yeah, sure.
All the big guys.
Yeah.
There was now only one Bracero, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's some major names there, right? Working with Jose Lothario, working with Hector Guerrero, Black Gorman and Goliath. That's a major tag team from California.
Yes.
That you're working with. But like you got all over, right? Like in 84, you were working television tapings in the WWF. So
yes.
Who did you hear from that brought you up there to work those TV tapings?
Oh, they called me, and I think Bruce sent me over there. We went one time to San Luis, Missouri.
Okay.
For WWF when they start the big time.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to hire me, you know.
Yep.
But they give me a contract there. I said, I don't want to sign it right now.
Yeah.
Let me take it home and look at it, you know.
Yeah.
There was people with seriously money.
Uh-huh.
So then I read it, you know, and they offered me 1 year. And I requested 5 years.
Yeah.
For 5 years contract. No, I said, no. They say, no, well, thank you very much. I'll take 5 years, so I'm not going.
Yeah.
Because they're going to use him only 1 year, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and they want me there because nobody was doing my style wrestling deal. Aerobics, this, and all that stuff, you know. Nobody was doing it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people say right now, they say, Jose, what they're doing right now, you was doing 50 years ago.
Yeah.
You're right. I was doing the same thing they do now. I doing it 50 years ago.
Right. It's funny, especially like if you watch the WWA stuff and everything else, right? And everything's just, you know, punch, kick.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then El Bracero comes out. And you're throwing all these drop kicks and doing all these quick pace and these flying splashes. And it was a breath of fresh air in that territory at the time. And you were super over, right? People loved you because of that. What was the deal though? Because why did Bruiser not seem to do more with you though? It was weird. Was he, how do I want to say this? Bruiser obviously had a very old school mentality.
Uh-huh.
Right? He wasn't with the times. And Bruiser always thought Bruiser had to be on top. And of course, Bruiser was a draw. I'm not arguing that. Do you think that kind of maybe held you back a little bit because you were doing the more modern style?
Well, he liked me very much because I was, like I say, I was the only one doing that.
Yeah.
And then he say, Jose, I need you in the first match. But I say, hey, I want to make more money because the payroll was first match, second match, and third match, semifinal match is different.
Yeah.
I said, I want to make more money.
Yeah.
Well, and he told me, Jose, I need for my opening matches, I need a good match to start my show.
Yeah.
And then you, the man, said, nobody else can do it but you. When I have my first match good, the rest of the show is going to be good show.
Yeah.
And he kept me like that, but he was taking me with the money, like, semi-medicine money, you know?
Yeah.
I was stuck there. So anyone, when I start traveling later on, when I left here, I said, Bruce, I got to go. And he said, well, you can come back anytime you want it. No problem.
Yeah.
And well, then went a lot of places.
Yeah. Well, tell me, what was it like working for Bruiser, like logistically? Like, was Bruiser the guy calling you, giving you your dates? Or who was calling you? Who was communicating the dates to you? Who was giving you your pay at the shows? Was that all Bruiser, or was it like, you know, Miniker and then Dave McLean? Who was doing those things?
Bruiser, he talked directly with me.
Okay, so he was telling
everything, my payoffs and everything.
Okay, so he'd call you up and say, "Hey, Jose, I got these dates. I need you for these dates. Can you make them?" Okay, good, cool. Huh. And you had your agreed upon rate, and then at the shows, Bruiser was obviously paying you and stuff.
Yeah, after the show, he paid us every time.
Yeah. So and then when you did like the interview segments that were on the show, where were those at? Right, those were not at the shows. Those were somewhere else. Well, tell me about those. Was there a set day to do interviews?
I believe it was on Tuesdays. They're on Channel 4.
Yeah.
Channel 4 is when we start doing it on the TV.
Yeah.
It's when we do the promos. We never did nothing on the ring or nothing. We got a promo deal on the TV studio.
Yeah. So they were recording those at the studio, right? Using that, editing that in with the, because they were just recording, right, arena shows, the expo shows, different things. And a lot of your time there, you were working right with Dave McLean was the guy. He was the face. What did you, I mean, Dave McLean's obviously went on to do a lot of great things in wrestling. What did you think working with Dave McLean on these interview segments and different things at the time?
He was a real nice guy. You know, he was impressed too with my work. When he's commentator, you know, he put me over. Oh, Jose, he's going to do this. He's the only one. Wrestle can do this. Oh, Jose is the greatest.
Yep.
He was exciting because he was young.
Yep.
Young, right. You know what I mean? I was his hero, I think.
Yeah.
You know, he was a kid. To me, he was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, I was like maybe 35 and he was 20.
Yeah.
No more than that.
Yeah. Well, when I talked to Dave recently, and he said, he talked about that part of his problem with Bruiser was, right, these older guys, while they were respected, were older guys, right? And he said there were guys like you. He mentioned you, El Bracero. He mentioned guys like Spike Huber, guys like Steve Regal, these younger guys who he said these guys should have been the guys. And he mentioned you by name and talked about how much he liked you, how much he respected you. And he called you a friend at that time, said that you were one of the best things going at that time. So that's why I asked if you and Dave were close at that time.
We was real close. Dave was he always been a gentleman, a good killing cat kid, you know.
Yeah.
He really educated person, you know. He was a nice guy.
Yeah, I mean, right, a smart guy, had a good vision.
Yes.
I think could have done a lot more for WWA had Bruiser maybe listened to him a little more. I mean, it's hard to say right now, looking back, what could have been. But you also mentioned, right, and of course you worked in Detroit for the Sheik. What was it like working for the Sheik? Because everybody knows the Sheik was very kayfabe, right? Kept that character.
Yes.
What was it like for you as a wrestler working for the Sheik?
Well, when I was there, he liked me right away because I went over all over the Michigan and Ohio. Like I said, he bring me for the Mexicans. They were there.
Yeah.
I sold out Toledo. I sold out Cabo Hall Arena.
Yep, Detroit, yep.
Nothing but a lot of Mexicans, you know, they come to El Pasero.
Yeah.
And he likes me all the time. The only thing sometimes he stiff me up with the payoffs, you know. Yeah, I say, excuse me, but no. So one time, me and Don Ken sold out Toledo.
Yeah.
Ohio, a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then the second time I asked him a percentage. He said, no, I cannot give you nothing. I said, okay. So he don't give me no. He got me a little bit extra.
Yeah.
Not like he's supposed to be. We sold out place. It was maybe, 2,000 people in that arena. What's the name of the in Toledo, Ohio? What was the name? I forgot it.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
It was sold out, you know.
Yeah.
Against Dan Ken. Something like it. He was going there a lot of times. He couldn't sold out himself.
Yeah.
The people, I guess, sold out because a lot of Mexicans went there, you know, on the working season.
Yeah.
And then I made my name there, so it's when everybody started calling me.
Like
from there, they called Jim Barnett, told Sheik that he'd like to have me there.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm going. He said, well, in my condition, I'm going to send you there, that you come back here when you finish there. I said, okay.
Yeah.
I never come back.
Yeah. So did you ever have any trouble, right? In the territory days, right, they were, how do I say this? And I don't mean any disrespect, right? They wanted to have that token Mexican wrestler, right? They wanted to have the token African-American wrestler. And a lot of times they wanted you to play a stereotype almost, right? El Bracero, it was almost, you know, they wanted you to come out there with the sombrero. Did you ever have any issue with that in playing that quote-unquote role? Did you ever feel disrespected by some of these territories?
No, not really. When I started, when they want me there, the Mexican, you know, they told me what to do. No matter what, I had to wear my sombrero all the time.
Yeah.
So that means like, she told me, say, I never miss my thing on my head, you know. Say, you'll be the same thing. You know, you will be with your sombrero all the time.
Yeah.
I said, okay, you know, I took my sombrero everywhere.
Yeah.
It was a crooked sombrero. On the place, on the my car or whatever, it don't matter what, but I had to take my sombrero with me.
Yeah. but it's funny. Tell me, Jose, outside of wrestling, how many times have you worn a sombrero?
No.
Probably not much, right?
No, I haven't worn the sombrero. I got two of them, and I, like I say, sometimes they
It's, I mean, it's just.
I cannot take my sombrero on the plane. They put him in the cargo.
That's right.
And then the sombrero came all crooked. I had to fix him on my sombrero. When they got on the carousel deal, you know, I'm fixing my sombrero because I had to look good.
Yeah.
But well, people like it. But people like to see the sombrero. You know, it was
right.
Pero something different, you know?
Yeah, and I get that. I guess my trouble is I watched you for your entire career, right? I'm a huge fan of yours. And I always thought you were, right, everywhere you went, you were so talented. And I was always like, yeah, but they're pigeonholing him, right? It's like, let him do his thing. And I like Bruiser, for example. I always wanted Bruiser. I always thought he should do more with you. And because you were so popular. But it was like, I understand it was a different time. I understand there was a different thought process. But, you know, that doesn't make it right. But I don't know.
Well, Spike Huber was his son-in-law. They couldn't put me over him.
Yeah.
Then Steve Regal was a Wilbur Snyder's son-in-law.
Yep.
So I got hard times to be get over those guys. But still, people was sharing more for me than those guys.
Yep. Absolutely.
Even those guys, they come and shake my hand all the time. Jose, what a great mess you have.
Yeah.
It's by human Regal. You know, they recognize my work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get it. That's important. I just felt like, I don't know. I guess it's that hindsight, right? If Bruiser had done a few things differently, what would happen? Who knows? Probably would have been the same results in the end. But when Jerry Jaffe, right? Jerry Graham Jr.,
yes.
When he bought into the WWA, moved him to Detroit, then Toledo for Bruiser Bedlam.
Yes.
You were still on board, right? You were a major player in that.
Right.
Uh-huh. What was different from like working for Bruiser in Indianapolis before that, and then working for Jerry and that approach in Toledo? How was things different?
Different because Jerry Jaffe know my talent.
Yes.
He knows my talents. He knows what can I do. Like I say, I sold a lot of places there in Ohio, right in his hometown, Toledo. When I sold out Toledo, Ohio, he believed on me.
Yes.
And he said, Jose, I believe on you. And he put me over on TV all the time. You know, I was doing good. I do myself every time I go to the ring. I was doing my 100% match. Don't do yes laying around. No, I was doing my job, and it was nothing. And they were El Bracero, you know. And that's what I was in those times. Like lot of one guy say over there in Texas, Paul Bosch. He say one time, he say, it's only three people in wrestling business right now. Say, the Andre the Giant, because that's the only giant we have.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The second one, the champ, was Terry Funk, them.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Funk. And one, El Bracero. It's not another Bracero. You know, it was only three people in that. And that... Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah.
One giant, one champion, and one Bracero.
There you go. Yeah. And you're right, with Bruiser Bedlam, I think you got featured a little better, right? Yes. You were kind of there, you know, in the spotlight a little more, used a little better. We talked about, right, you kind of switched from the El Bracero to the Super Mex, which is a little, you know, a little more respectful, I want to say, I mean, for lack of a better word. You know, so, you know, and that's a lot of that. I'm not knocking Bruiser, but Jerry had a great mind and knew what should have been done, knew what you would. And you mentioned, I want to talk about a guy you mentioned earlier, Don Kent. I've always been a huge Don Kent fan. I think he's so underappreciated. You've been in the ring with him so many times. How good was Don Kent in the ring?
He was great. He was a professional worker. You know what I mean? A professional worker.
Yeah.
he was a good wrestler. He was a good shooter too, you know. But he, when he went to work, he was there 100%.
Yeah.
We meant business.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, why you wanna hurt yourself when we can go easy, you know?
Yep.
And then, so we see the professional side.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a wrestler. I'm tough. No, I'm not tough. I'm a professional wrestler, you know?
Sure. Yeah. So like we talked, you've worked so many different guys in your career.
A lot of things like that.
Yeah. Do you have, of all the matches you've had, all the guys you've worked, does anybody stand out to you as being, I can't believe I worked that guy, or that was the best match I've had, or I liked working that guy. Does anybody jump out at you?
Oh, a lot of guys.
Yeah.
They go take my hand and they thank me. Thank you, Jose. It was a night off for me, you know.
Just the best compliment, right? If somebody said it was a night off.
Thank you, Jose. Thank you very much. They say, I can't believe all the things you do. Well, I say, okay, you know, that was my stuff.
Yeah.
And they know it, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they come and check my hand. Good match. The promoters, wherever I go, good match, Jose, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
And I was satisfied myself.
Sure.
That I'm doing my right thing. You know, I was not one of the biggest, no, but a lot of people know me. I was the only one.
Yeah.
One time, Terry Funk,
mm-hmm.
We was in Houston. And,
okay.
In Houston, Texas, and he told me, Jose, you got to go work for my brother, Dory Funk, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
He said, I'm okay over here. He said, no, you go over there. My brother needs you there. I talked to him about you already, that we need a good Mexican there.
Uh-huh.
And then I go up, they got somebody there, Ricky Romero.
Sure, yeah.
And then Ricky Romero was part of the partners with them.
Uh-huh.
So I got no chance because he blocked me right away. So, oh, no, Jose, he's too small. And Dory said, but he cannot. He do things that you don't do here.
Yeah.
And I got blacked out. I said, no, I got to go. I called. I talked to Dory Fong. Dory Fong, you got your man here, so I can do nothing about it. You're right, Jose. I apologize. I told my brother, Terry, that you had to go, this and that, and they take care of me with money, and I left.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, it one opponent that you had a lot, right, in singles and tag, he recently passed away, was the great Wojo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What are your memories of Wojo?
Mr. Wojo was a real tough guy. The thing is, right when he went to have a match with me, you know, he was real stiff. He was Olympic guy, you know.
Yep, yep.
He didn't want to give me nothing, but I can wrestle myself if I wanted to. So I made my match my own way.
Yep.
Later on, he come and apologized with me. Jose, I'm sorry. I don't know nothing about this. I don't know nothing about it. He apologized.
Yeah.
And from them, we wrestled a lot of times. It was easy. We don't have to do pushing or nothing, you know?
Yep.
Well, we got good matches. Matches. I got Mexican match with him, all kinds of matches with him.
Yeah.
He was a good wrestler. But like he said in the beginning, of course, he was like a green guy when he started, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then he know what's going on. So, hey, he apologized with me. Sorry, Jose.
Yeah.
He got me apologizing.
Yeah. Do you watch wrestling at all anymore?
Not anymore. It's a lot of disgusting deal. A lot of players do it, you know?
Yeah.
I can see only sometimes the big shows they make it. Sometimes I don't even watch it because there's a lot of talking, blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
The matches don't make suspense. There's no story in the match. It's only boom, 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 boom. You got lost.
Yep.
I got lost myself because what the hell's going on?
What
kind of angles they working on it?
Yes.
Me as a worker, you know, what's going on?
Yeah. Yep. It is. It's a very different business. A lot of the guys from, you know, back in the day, just like, I can't relate. I don't understand. So tell us something that maybe the fans, what's something about you, Jose Alicia, as a person, as a man, that most fans don't know? What would surprise fans about Jose Alicia? Do you have like any hidden talents, anything that would surprise them?
Well, they was surprising is when I was making all those moves, you know?
Yeah.
And nobody was doing it.
Sure.
But absolutely. Me, that was my pass to go in any territory.
Yep.
The day they saw me one time walking the top row, people got...
Yep.
People got crazy, you know, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
I had scissors, jump and grab it with my legs and flip it over. You know, they see that only on the Chinese movies.
Yeah.
The old Chinese movies. So when they see the real thing, people got surprised.
Yeah. So, but tell me outside of wrestling, what do you do now since you've left wrestling? Do you like to cook? What are your hobbies now? What kind of things would maybe people not think about El Bracero?
My hobbies now here, I spend a lot of time home. I'm at home. I go to the gym every Tuesday and Wednesday.
I
play golf 5 times a week.
Oh.
What I do. So I met people, all my friends there and on the golf course.
Yeah.
When I start playing, they don't know me until they see me. You know, what I used to wrestle. So they get in YouTube right away. Oh yeah, the Embracero.
So
that really you, Jose? I say, I guess. You know.
So you're a big golfer. Do you keep in touch with anybody from the wrestling business? Are you still friends? Anybody you still talk to?
I talked to later last week. I talked to Jerry Jaffe.
Yeah.
You know.
Uh-huh.
I talked to Paul Weingraf. Remember him?
Uh huh. Yep.
I talked to him. I used to be good friends with Lenny Poffo until he passed away.
Yep.
Oh, we loved each have a good conversation with Lenny.
Yeah.
Out of that, all the people, they left me. They died.
That's right, yeah.
They don't know where they are. You know, Ax Baker used to be a good friend of mine.
Yep.
Paul Christie.
Yeah, all those guys are gone.
Yeah, all those guys gone.
Yeah.
Calypso jeans, we get in touch once in a while.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I received a picture today from McLean, Dave McLean.
Yeah, okay.
Him checking a hand, you know. I said, I used to look good. Not anymore. No, I play golf, you know, 5 times a week. That's what I do. That's my hobby now.
Yeah. So Dave's still in touch, right? Still sending you?
Yes, he sent me a picture today and a text message, you know?
Yeah, yep.
I said, well, thanks very, very much. And
look at that guy.
Yeah.
Look at that El Bracero.
El Bracero, yes.
So
he was a nice guy.
Sure, he is. He's a great guy. And so do you ever... Are you ever out there at conventions or shows or anything doing signings? Do you ever get invited to any of those things?
I've been invited a lot of times. I just don't want to go.
Yeah.
I just don't want to go, you know, because there's a lot of sentimental things, you know.
Yeah.
Then people sometimes, people remember me, you know. I've been see a lot of people in places, the El Bracero, you know.
Uh-huh.
But they invite me to the conventions, and no, I sometimes don't go. Last convention I went about 6 years ago. I went to the Cauliflower deal there in Vegas.
Yep. Uh huh.
I used to watch the who was there, you know. Oh, I want to see the guy.
Yeah.
So I was there. Nobody was there.
Yeah, yeah. The
friend I saw there was Scott Romer.
Yeah.
Terry Funk. Mando Guerrero was there.
Mm-hmm.
Harley Race was there. He remembered me, you know.
Yeah.
We were on the trips a lot of times. And just a few guys. They, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be hard, right, when you lose a lot of those friends to to want to go to those things and, you know, that maybe you would have seen them at, and now they're no longer with you. It's got to be hard, right, to not want to go and be reminded of who you've lost almost.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, that's difficult. So, so El Becerro just stays with his new golf friends and plays golf.
Yeah. And, I play golf almost every day.
You need to get Scott Romer out there playing golf. Has Scott ever played golf with you?
No.
Man, you need to get him out there and play golf.
We get into it once in a while. He was a nice guy. He's a nice guy too, you know.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I don't know if he's a golfer, but you know, whatever.
He always called me and tagged me that I was one of the first matches he ever had.
Oh yeah, you and him when he started.
When he started, yeah. He was his first match with me.
Yeah,
and he talked about that all the time. He thanked me all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but Jose, you helped me a lot, this and that. Him and Jerry Jaffe, the same thing.
Yeah.
I was his first match with them, and I threw pretty good. I put them over. You know, I was over myself. Like I said, I don't want to eat him at nobody.
That's right.
I was a pro.
That's right.
A pro.
That's right. No matter what anybody could say, El Becerro was always a professional, always did the job. I hope people will appreciate what you did. Because, again, it's a lot of what you did is now just common stuff in wrestling. But it was really extraordinary back then. No one else was doing it. And it was pretty incredible. So do you have a way that fans can follow you? Or do you just kind of keep to yourself and not worry about the business anymore?
I don't worry about the business anymore. Yes.
All right.
My friends all call me. Hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Good, you know.
That's right.
Hey, everybody left me, you know.
That's right. Yep. Well, and if anybody.
God, I'm still here, you know, but then my time comes someday.
Let's hope not anytime soon, Jose.
The good times. Nobody taking me away from me.
That's right. Well, let's just say if anybody wants to know about Jose, they can just reach out to me and I'll keep them in touch. How about that?
That sounds good.
I'll be your spokesman. And
I'm pretty not that much, you know. I put things and that's it. You know, I don't put a message over here, there. Sometimes I put the face on and I see some of my matches. I say, who in the hell like my message, you know? And I look at it and I save it. Who in the hell put it by the message? I don't know, but I keep it, you know, somebody remember about me. Somebody out there.
It's gotta be wild, right, to see that stuff.
It is wild.
All these years later, it's just gotta be like another lifetime almost, isn't it?
You got surprised, you know, somebody still see you wrestling, you know?
Yeah.
Matches, and I don't even remember when was that match. I watch it myself like a fan.
Yeah. Pretty extraordinary.
Yeah.
But, Jose, again, I'm a big fan of yours. I'm a big proponent of what you accomplished. You had a great career, wrestled all over, did great, great things. I'm one of those guys that always loved your matches.
Okay.
Always sharing your matches. And it was an honor to have you back on the show and talk to you. And I hope that maybe we can have you back on again in the future and talk again.
It was an honor for me to do this.
Hey, you bums, we have to take a quick break.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here. Lots of new stuff happening here at WrestleCopia. If you haven't checked out our website at WrestleCopia.com, it's a great way to keep up with the latest episodes of all of your favorite Copia programming, from the Wrestling Memory Grenade to Regional Wrestling with the Territory Talk, the Wrestling Stoop with the legendary Bob Roop, and of course all of those programs also available at your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you want to stay up to date with everything going on in the Copia world, all the latest news, random thoughts, fun videos, pictures, and more, make sure to join the more than 33,000 followers over at facebook.com/wrestlinggrenade. Don't be left out. And last, but definitely not least, it's what keeps the entire machine going. I'm talking about patreon.com/wrestlecopia. We appreciate your support in helping us pay the bills, the WrestleCopia Podcast Network running, and enabling us to continue to bring you all the quality programming that we offer.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right, and thank you to El Bracero, Jose Alicia, for coming back on the show and chatting with me. Guys, make sure you follow me on social media, and you'll find me on pretty much all social media apps. Go check out the WrestleCopia network of podcasts. The shows are all fun listens that shine a light on wrestling history. You can go to WrestleCopia.com or look them up by their individual names on your favorite podcast platform. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Go to ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account and then download the Ultimate Classic Wrestling app on all of your devices. On next episode, I will be joined by Jordy Day, the filmmaker behind Nevermore, The Raven Effect, the new documentary out about Raven. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So join me for that episode. And until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.
Wrestling Nostalgia is copyright Dave Dynasty. Bruiser voice done by John Lawson.